Well, good morning, church. Man, y'all look good. And it's not even Easter yet. Not saying you don't look good any other days. My name is Chris Morgan, and I serve as a high school coordinator here at Mount Horeb. Not only is it a great day to be in God's house, but like Trevor mentioned, today is Confirmation Sunday. Over 80 students went through this process this morning, and Michaela Heinzman and myself, we're so grateful that we get to inherit all 80 of you next year in high school ministry. So it'll be a lot of fun that we get to hang out with you guys. Also, again, thank you to all the amazing mentors who volunteered their time and put countless hours into these students. We are so thankful that you would volunteer your time. And to Corey Black and Maggie Kiesler, our middle school team, phenomenal job making this happen this year. Lastly, I just want to say thank you to all the parents and grandparents in the room. Without you guys, this wouldn't even be possible. So thank you for partnering with our student ministry team and trusting us along your students' faith journey information. We definitely do not take it for granted, and we are so thankful for each and every one of you. Now, I'm excited today and honored to kick off a new series called 24/7, The Power of Prayer. This series focuses on prayer and how it isn't confined to the specifics of time and place, but it's an open line of communication to God. The goal for us as a church is to see that prayer is how we connect with God and experience His presence in every season, no matter the situation. Now, since I love you all so deeply, I'm going to need your help with a quick survey this morning. Do we think we could do that, church? Okay, 9 o'clock was on it. 10:45, can y'all help me out? We feeling good? Okay, awesome. There we go. Now we're locked in. All right, so here we go. Question number one. Raise your hand if you believe this to be true. Raise your hand if you believe in the power of prayer this morning. Let's just see it. Okay, great. Okay, now raise your hand if you believe that you could be praying more consistently in your life. Okay, so we went from like, yes, to like, yes, I can totally be doing that. Now, this is fascinating because in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15, it says this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. So we have 24/7 access to the God of the universe. Keep in mind, this is the same God who created the world in 7 days. He created man and woman, all the stars in the sky. He knows how many hairs on your head. He knows your heart and your every thought. Yet we come to Him inconsistently. I mean, prayer can be intimidating, but it requires a lot out of you. Prayer is a discipline that has many characteristics, but the one I want to highlight today is that prayer requires you to be bold. Maybe you're a seasoned veteran in here in your faith, and you're thinking, I could probably be a little bit more bolder, Chris. I'll get behind that. Maybe you're new to this faith journey in general, and you just start coming to Mount Horeb, and you're like, hey, I was Baptist like 6 months ago, and now I'm Methodist today, and I'm trying to grasp that, and you're like, I don't even know what prayer is. I don't even know how it works, and what is it even supposed to look like? It feels like prayer can vary situation to situation. Well, in some ways, you would be correct. Let me explain. No matter what side of the coin you're on, we all can relate to the feeling of hearing someone who has a PhD in prayer, it feels like. All right, track with me here. So your grandma asks you to pray at a holiday meal, and you're a little nervous, right? You're like, I don't know. But you pray the solid prayer that gets anybody by. You're like, dear Lord, thank you for this food. Let it nourish our bodies and bodies to your service. Amen. Right? And you're like, hey, typical C prayer. But C's get degrees, right? You're feeling good. And so then the next holiday comes up, you're coming along, and you have a little bit more confidence. And then you're like, hey, grandma, I'm ready to pray. But then your grandma decides to tap you out for your cousin. All right, so then your cousin comes up and pray, and they're like, dear Lord, we pray for the farmer. We pray for the farmer's parents for falling in love and making the farmer. And then they're praying for the ground. They're praying for the rain. They're praying for the corn and all this stuff. And you're like, wow, maybe I have a junior degree in prayer. Prayer could always look like you being nervous. I remember when I found out it was time to go to the hospital for Malachi, I was becoming a dad for the first time. And I'm nervous and I'm praying and we're sitting in the hospital room and my wife's looking at me like, why are you praying? I'm the one that's about to do all the hard work. And I'm like, well, I'm praying because if you get angry while you're doing the hard work, I have to live with you after it's done. So I'm praying for me in that. But prayer could also look like when you're scared. I remember my first prayer I ever memorized was, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Man, wasn't that cute? It felt awesome, right? But then when you're sitting there in bed one night, you remember asking that prayer, you open your eyes and you're like, bang, someone's about to take my soul. I might die. Right, everything changes for a five-year-old. All the cuteness goes out the window because you're wondering if someone's going to take your soul tonight. I am praying a bold prayer. But prayer could also look like patience. We all know Easter is right around the corner. By the way, make sure you go on Mount Horeb online. Go to Easter. You can find all the times you're looking for. But you see here, you're arguing about what time does service start. You're dealing with your immediate family, but you're also dealing with your extended family. You're dealing with your in-laws. And you're trying to figure out meals. And you're trying to make sure your kids look 65% decent instead of the casual 15% decent they look at church, right? And on the way to church, you're trying to make sure you are arguing with your spouse and that everyone looks joyful. You're praying a bold prayer. But prayer, unfortunately, can also look like desperation. You and your spouse are at the very edge and ready to get a divorce. You're estranged from your kids, and it feels like reconciliation is nowhere to be found. You receive bad news from the doctor, and you have no hope. You're suffering from anxiety and depression, and you're wondering if your life is even worth it. So many situations like I've described and countless others leave us wondering this question: does prayer even work at all? It even has us asking a sub-question of, does God even desire to hear from me? Today we'll learn that prayer isn't a chore, but a privilege. That since we are sons and daughters of the Most High, we can approach our Father's throne boldly with confidence, and we can trust that he is big enough to handle our every single need. Mount Horeb, let's practice what I'm preaching this morning and go to the Father in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity for us to learn more about you this morning, that we can do it freely in an open space. So Father, right now I pray that you would take away any selfish ambition, ego, or pride away from me. That if anything of significance is going to be said this morning, it is simply because of you. So I pray you would open our hearts, minds, our souls, and ears to receive your word, and that you would open my eyes to receive your wondrous law. And all of God's people said, amen. Trust is one of the hardest things in the world to build, and it's honestly one of the easiest things in the world to tear apart. Trust requires you to be vulnerable, because for it to truly thrive, you must give just as much as you take. It requires you to not just know about a person, but to truly know them deeply and sincerely. Knowing God isn't just about knowing facts, but having a relationship with him and in being in constant communication, because prayer is relational, not transactional. Prayer is relational, not transactional. Now, I am married to my gorgeous wife, Haley, and if I told you our relationship looks something like this, what would you say? If I said the only time I communicate with my wife is when I'm hungry or something needs to be washed or cleaned, you would probably have two thoughts. Your first would be, wow, how is this guy still standing up on stage right now? But your second thought would probably be, that relationship isn't very good, because there is no connection involved in any way, shape, or form. You would be able to see that there's a connection missing. Often we treat God as if he's some type of ATM. We only approach God when we are in need and when it's convenient for us in our lives. If things are good, we won't talk to the Father. But when things are bad, we want to run there immediately. But look at what James 4:8 tells us. It says this: draw near to God and he will draw near to you. When we are close to God, we can navigate the known and the unknown with a healthy confidence. For the already confident people in the room, you're feeling great. You're batting 1,000. For the non-confident people, you're probably saying, where can I get that at? Because here's one thing we need to know this morning, is that prayer requires confidence. But if you're wondering this morning, how can I get some confidence? I have the secret sauce for you this morning. All you have to do is come on a Wednesday night, walk 50 feet over to the East Building, peek your head in the student room, and look at a middle school boy. They have all the confidence in the world. The species called middle school boy is impressive. They can't be shaken for anything. You can tell them that they need deodorant, and they will wear that complaint with a badge of honor. They're also the only kids I know who wear stripes and plaid at the same time and walk around rocking it and tell you that your outfit looks terrible. They are the most confident people in the world. They are secure. They have faith and trust in who they are. And how do I know this to be true? Because I was once a middle school boy. And I want to tell you this story this morning. At one point in my career, I thought I was going to be a rapper. Okay? Hold on. I got bars, okay? Some of you are like, what? Okay. I thought I was going to be a rapper. I thought I was going to be bigger than Lil Wayne, Tupac, Biggie, Drake, you name it. So one day I'm in middle school class, we're in a class one day, and I begin rapping lyrics to a song that I'm not going to say because of the confirmands and the parents in the room. And I begin rapping the song, and then my teacher looks, he goes, hey, Chris, you might want to stop because there's some lyrics coming up to that song that Christians probably shouldn't say. And at this point, I was looking out, and I had the room. Everybody was feeling good. They were like, yes, go kill it. So that's, you know, I'm like, I said it. So I say the lyrics, and I'm feeling good. And I don't get in trouble. So I'm like, man, I'm the captain now. This is my classroom. I'm feeling great. And then after, I still go along, and I start to wonder, why didn't I get in trouble? Well, I get dressed, and I go to football practice. I'm walking onto the field, and I see the silhouette with my coach. And I'm like, who is that? And I get close. And the reason why my teacher didn't say anything to me, because my teacher called my mom. And I go out there, and Lillian Morgan is standing on the football field. And to make a long story short for you all this morning, the rap career of Christopher C. Money Morgan died that day instantly. I just want it to be known. It was over immediately. Now, we laugh about this type of confidence, but look at what Scripture says. Matthew 18, verses 3-4. He said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is talking to disciples about humility, but I also believe we can apply this to our prayer life. When we often say we need to have childlike faith. What would our prayers look like if we had the confidence of a middle school boy? That we approach God's throne with boldness that is outlined for us in Ephesians 3:12, that in him and through him, in faith, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. If we had this mentality, we would know that there's nothing that our God can't do, that there's no scenario too big or too small for us to approach God about in prayer. If every Christian lived with this humble fire inside of them, we would have enough courage to say, not today, Satan, when evil comes our way. Not only would we be bold, but we would also be strong and courageous. June would be 2 years that I have been here on staff at Mount Horeb, and one of my first tasks during the summer was Sunday school. Sunday school is an environment where we unapologetically teach the Bible so that by the time your student graduates, they're young adults fully devoted to Christ. And in there, our high school assistant, Michaela Heinzman, has been stepping up lately, and she's been teaching students every single week about the gospel. But before Michaela joined staff, I remember looking at my wife one day at lunch, and I'm like, something's missing. And usually my wife is just a good sounding board. She'll let me throw ideas out over and over. I'll tell her like a million things. And I told my wife, you know, we play a lot of games. We eat a lot of good food. And we pray before and at the end. But I feel like we need to do more prayer. Because how can you unapologetically teach the word if you don't have prayer behind it? So we decided we were going to add a prayer time in there. And it was called Who's Your One? It was an opportunity for students to go around and pray for one person that they wanted to see have a relationship with Jesus, or someone who might need healing in their life. And for the first 6 weeks of doing this, it was extremely awkward. I would say, hey, if you don't have anybody, I'll just point at you and you just shake your head no. And you would have thought I was playing human dominoes with the students. I would point at them and they'd be like, no, all the way across. And then I remembered that two students in particular made an impact in this. And there was more along the way, but two students in particular really highlighted and made this move forward. And it was Kobe Coates was one of them. Kobe Coates is the son of Eric and Jessica Coates. They're phenomenal people. But I remember Kobe Coates one day decided to be like, you know what, enough's enough. I'm going to say this student's name. He said the name of his friend, and you would thought all his friends at his table would light up. They were like, yes, we want to pray for him. That's who we need to be praying for. But then the other student was Trinity Malone. And she said a name, and you would have thought a pin could be heard dropping in the room. She said, I want to pray for Stephanie Malone. She said, I want to pray for my mom, because my mom needs healing in her body. And to be honest with you, It feels like I'm praying the same prayer over and over and over again. And I need some help. And I want people to join with me in the fight for my mom. What a moment. I mean, Trinity has every reason in the world not to share this news. Her mom's on staff in a high role, right? She could have kept the whole thing to herself. But here's the thing. Trinity was not concerned with the opinions of others. She was concerned with praying to the one who can make a way. We live in an extremely visual society. We are constantly looking to something or someone. Even more scary is that someone is always looking at us. They're looking at your life in person or online, and that can feel like a burden. I have always been encouraged that our church prioritizes prayer, not only as a core value, but we practice it in service as well. I've also wondered, though, how many people stay in their seat every week when they need to be at the altar? How many of us stay in our seat every single week when we need to be at the altar? We get so consumed with keeping things private for the sake of status. We don't want anyone to know that we need help, so we would rather suffer in darkness than be restored in the light. We would rather suffer in darkness than be restored in the light. We fear what people may say or think. Let's look at Isaiah 53, verse 5. It says this. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Now I want to read this again with you all, and I want to emphasize certain words for you this morning. Let's read it together again. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Everything I see in the scripture that is good is about Christ, and it has nothing to do about you or me. So why do we give the opinions of others so much power in our prayer life and our devotion to Christ, church? I mean, think about it. Men, we won't sing because it isn't manly. We won't clap our hands or we won't say amen when we hear a good word because we don't want to be distracting. We won't raise our hands to worship because we don't want people to think we are weird. We won't come down and kneel before the Father because we are worried what people are going to think about us. Church, we need to understand this, that praying bold prayers reminds us to look vertically, not horizontally. Because here's the thing, we are worried about what they will say, we're worried about what they will do. But what about this? They didn't create you. They didn't make the lame walk and the blind to see. They didn't set your feet upon a rock and pick you up out of the mud for your sin. They didn't send their one and only son to die upon the cross. The only one who did that was he, and it was Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with them at all. So here's the thing I want us to see. When I come to the altar and I kneel down and I pray, I'm not worried about what's behind me. I'm just focused on what's in front of me. And my eyes are set above because the God above all things is good. And he has really, really good plans for you. When I change my vision, my what ifs turn to even ifs. I become secure and trust in the God who has designed a plan for me. And that should make you feel nothing but gratitude. Gratitude can be defined as this, as a readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. The reality is, no matter what we have gone through or what we are currently going through, God has been really kind to us. It can be hard to see when that spouse is always combative. Your kids are disobedient. Your boss is the worst. Finances are horrible. You name it. It can be hard to view the giver as good when you're surrounded by bad. Even in these moments, we need to pray bold prayers because bold prayers remind us to practice gratitude. Now, the world is constantly trying to shape you and me. They're trying to tell you how you should be. Like, take this personality test and we'll tell you everything you know about you. Or do this and this is gonna be who you are, or whatever it may be. When the whole time, all we have to do is open this book. And this book reminds us exactly who we need to be. It just takes discipline to be a part of it. And when you look at this glass, the same way we're putting it into two categories, right? If you look at this glass, for some of you, you're gonna look at it and say, hey, this glass is half full. And if you think that, congratulations, you're a positive person. But if for some of you, you're probably like, hey, this glass is half empty. And congratulations, I think, you're a negative person. Or so they say. I don't know exactly what it's supposed to look like. But here's the thing, what if there was a third option this morning? What if you were just thankful for the cup? What if you were just thankful for the opportunity to do life and to be able to drink from the cup? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. I bet it would transform us from the inside out if we live with a little bit more gratitude in our lives. So the next time you want to put your spouse in a headlock, I pray you go to the Father and say, you know what, man, this person's mess is really bothering me. But thank God that I found someone who's devoted their life to me and to deal with my mess too. Or the next time you wake up in the morning and you step on a Lego or some type of Hot Wheel and you look on your couch and there's markers and yogurt everywhere and there's markers and yogurt on your wall and you're ready to blow a gasket. Maybe you take a second and you say, you know what? Praise God for the little feet that run through my house. Because one day those feet are going to get bigger and they're going through my house a little less. Or maybe you got news, really bad news, that your life, the doctor put you on a timetable. Instead of waking up in the morning and thinking, man, today might be the day. Maybe you say, thank you, God, for putting breath in my lungs. And I get to spend one more day with my loved ones. Or maybe you're the person who suffered anxiety and depression, and you're like, God, why am I even here? Instead of asking that question, maybe you wake up in the morning and say, thank you, God, for not giving up on me when I don't believe in myself. No matter what side of your coin you are on this morning, you all have something to be grateful for. Because you see, praying bold prayers doesn't mean you have it all together. It just means you trust in the one who does. You simply come to realize that your life, that you need help and that you need Christ. The best part about prayer is that we have 24/7 access to the God of the universe who wants to know you, who cares about you deeply, and he created you. So when we look and we say, man, this is weird, or people are gonna judge me, the only weird thing is that you're putting your faith in people who have just as much baggage as you do and not putting your faith in the spotless lamb. That's the only thing weird this morning. Hebrews 4:16 says this, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God wants to hear from you. He cares about you. He loves you. To the eighth graders this morning, God loves you, and I love you, and I'm excited that in the next year, I get to spend 4 more years with you. Hopefully, you don't make me have more gray hair than the current eighth graders made me last year, all right? But I'm so thankful for all the parents in this room who are joining along in this journey. I'm so thankful for all of you who woke up this morning and just chose to be here. God loves you, and he wants to communicate with you. The giver of life is good. No matter the need, you can come to the problem. You can come to the Father. No problem is too annoying or too small for him. He loves you and wants to communicate and spend time with you. God is simply asking that you would put all your trust in him this morning. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for being so kind. We thank you for being so loving. We thank you that we can put our trust in you. Father, I pray right now for each and every heart in this room that you would be with them, that you would give them boldness to pray to you, and that they would put their trust in you. And Father, we love you. And all of God's people said, amen.